Thank you. I want to turn our attention to our gospel reading, and of course there's lots of things within it in which I could well speak to. But the verse right at the end is the one that I want to capture our attention this morning. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." And as I've thought on this and percolated it over and over, and particularly in the last week as I've sort of rounded things off, its significance has become greater, as can happen. It's interesting, isn't it? If you go to buy a car you didn't have before, how all of a sudden there's lots of your new model on the road. And it just captures your attention because that's where your focus is, and it kind of works a bit like that for this verse. And I think to myself, I wonder why I've not seen it in its entirety before. "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." Heather is a single 30-year-old hairstylist, and when she was asked why she didn't go to church anymore, she said, "I was raised to believe you had to go to church every Sunday, confessing your sins, reciting your prayers, being faithful. It was just too hard. I couldn't see how a loving God could be so demanding. As soon as I got out on my own, I left it all behind. And the longer I stay away, the less guilty I feel." For Heather, doing comes before being. This is sad because somewhere in her time in church, she had got it back to front. Somehow she missed the truth that being comes before doing. As Christians, we are to serve not out of guilt or fear, but with joy. Heather speaks of being less guilty, going to church just too hard, a loving God so demanding. Heather's experience and understanding of church represents what many people feel. There is this idea that you come to church primarily for three events, although not so often these days. You come to be baptized, to get married, and for their funeral. The first time we throw water on you, the second time rice, rose petals or confetti, and the third time dirt. With a view like that, how do we discover the thrill of a relationship with God? Sometimes church can be boring, uninspiring, routine, and I can say that. But don't blame God. When we get more excited about a bunch of sweaty sportsmen trying to move an inflated leather ball across a goal line than we do about going to worshiping God, is it little wonder that church seems oppressive? There was a story of a ministry candidate arriving for an interview. He entered a dimly lit church with a few people huddled together, and they were singing some old slow funeral type song, and it was depressing. Later that day he was walking around town and he came to a grand opening of a jewelry store. There were bright lights and a smiling greeter at the door to welcome. Inside there was celebration. There were refreshments and people were having a good time talking and laughing. They welcomed him and offered him a drink. He said that after attending both the church and the jewelry store, if the jewelry store had offered him an invitation, he would have joined the jewelry store. The truth is, we are saved to serve. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." Servants follow Jesus. They are found where Jesus is working, and they will be honoured by God. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me will follow me." Someone once said, "It's never the servant's prerogative to tell the master what he will do." Interesting, I've just started reading a new novel, new for me, by Kevin Follett. I think that's how he pronounced his name. It's a sequel to The Pillars of the Earth. And near the beginning, the apprentice dares to tell the master that he didn't get it right and there was another way of repairing the cathedral. Not the thing to do. Unfortunately, the the member of the monastery who was in charge of this spoke to the apprentice later and said, I got you into trouble, didn't I? Because he kind of had set it up a bit. It is not the servant's prerogative to tell the master what he will do. To follow Jesus is to be led by his Spirit, to make choices with his wisdom, to live for him and to do what he tells us. If we're really honest, what we want is for Jesus to follow us around and bless what we are doing with our time and resources. But that is not what Jesus is saying. He challenges us with, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. Ask yourself, if Jesus were given this life of mine, what would he do with it? What would he do with your life? What would he do with mine? Where would he go with it? His servants are found where Jesus are working. So what was it that Heather said? She said, I was raised to believe you had to go to church every Sunday, confessing your sins, reciting your prayers, being faithful. It was just too hard. I couldn't see how a loving God could be so demanding. As soon as I got out on my own, I left all that behind. And the longer I stay away, the less guilty I feel. Her understanding of church is legalistic. For her, and she is not alone, the church is a ritual. It is a prescribed, redundant performance. When in truth, it's about a relationship. We follow and serve a knowable God. Knowing this helps us to see that service and celebration, which is what worship should be, leads to an encounter with him. If I believed as Heather does, then I'd stay away too. For her religion is a duty, an obligation, a futile attempt to somehow measure up. For her, it is about doing instead of celebrating what has been done. We are to look for what God is doing and seek out where he is working. Jesus said, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. I tell you the truth, the Son could do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. John 5. God is at work, and we can be involved in what he is doing. The question is, what am I now doing that is in partnership with the Lord my God? We are saved to serve. Too many Christians sit, soak, and sour. Ministry is for all of us. So what are you doing in the service of God that will outlive you? What are you doing in the service of God that will outlive you? Paul wrote, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2. And Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. According to relationship experts Gary Smalley and John Trent, to honor is to make a decision to attach high value to someone. The most important thing we can do is to learn to honor God as the highest priority in our lives. The most important thing we can do towards building loving, lasting relationships is to learn how to honor others. When we serve God with gratitude, with passion, with enthusiasm, we will be honored by God. The choice is ours. When we present him with our lives, our abilities, when we say, take my life and lead me, Lord, he will. Heather sees church as doing, but we are to see it as celebration for what God has done, for what God wants to do through us. We are saved to serve. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini willed his marvelous violin to the city of Genoa on condition that it must never be played. I find that absolutely extraordinary as an acoustic instrumentalist. Instruments acoustic instruments particularly, their life is in being played, all that expressed within them. And if you know your instrument, you know your instrument. I bought my current guitar in 1980. Just a few years ago, it was stolen out of my car, which produced all sorts of crises for me. One of them was that all the guitars I could replace it with sounded horrible. Just horrible. I mean, even though the figures to buy them were impressive, they just sounded awful. Why? Because they were not my instrument. And then I went into a second-hand shop one day and I thought, oh, there's a guitar like mine. And I touched the strings. I said immediately, that is my guitar. And it was. And it was. You see, an instrument that you know, you know. An acoustic instrument needs to be played for it to live. And that's the sad thing about what Paganini willed. You see, the wood of such an instrument, while used and handled, wears only slightly. But set aside, it begins to decay. Paganini's lovely violin today has become a worm-eaten and useless, except as a relic. A Christian's unwillingness to serve may soon destroy their capacity to usefulness and perhaps relegate them to being a relic. Servants follow Jesus. Servants are found where Jesus is working. Servants will be honoured by God. My question to myself and my question to you is, are you a willing servant of Jesus? It's a life worth living. Yes, indeed, service is a matter of the heart. Lord Jesus, you call us to serve you, and to serve you out of relationship. Forgive us when we expect you to follow us, when we make church a thing to be done, a legalistic thing, rather than the outworking of a glorious relationship with you and with one another. Lord, help us to pursue you with all our heart and allow you to take this life of ours and make it something of immense value to you, to others, and to ourselves. And as you do, Lord, help us to see how we are investing not only in this life as we live it here, but beyond our natural life as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.